Praise God. Please turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 12. Romans, on Friday evening, as we had our church business meeting, though I don't like to call it that, I just read from Romans 12, and after I did, those scriptures literally gripped me in such a way that as I went to bed on Friday evening, all I could think of was these scriptures. They opened up to me. They literally laid hold of my thoughts, of my heart, of my thinking into the night. And I just want to open them up. I went Friday night, it would be impossible to preach in any other direction than to go to these precious scriptures. So forgive me for those who were there on Friday night if I repeat myself briefly. But there's an awful lot more I do want to say. I believe it's so important what we read of in Romans chapter 12 for us, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, dwelling here in Limerick City. Romans chapter 12, and my message here this morning, I'm calling grace gifts. And I may spend a couple of weeks at any rate upon this, but I really believe this is from the Lord for us to receive, to believe, and to operate in. Grace gifts, or if you want it in the Greek, charis, charisma. Charis, charisma. Grace gifts. And that's what it is in the Greek language. Reading from Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, I do pray as we minister the word of God that your grace would be ministered to every single life. Father, we want to be a church that ministers by the grace of God, every member in its right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Father, I pray even this morning, release lives here as we preach the word of God. Father, I do pray that by faith, O God, there'll be a stirring and a kindling and a setting at liberty of every single heart. My God, set us free from every guilt and condemnation. Set us free from all unbelief. Set us free from all the natural things of our body, of our world, of this environment. And my God, help us to walk by faith. Let your grace descend on this church in a new and a fresh way. And Father, I pray that as your grace flows down, Lord God, to each member, Lord God, that every person by faith will have faith in you and move by faith, Lord God, seeing that there is a gift from on high for every member of the body. We do love you and praise you and ask that all these things will be to your glory and the edification of your church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message here, grace gifts, or as I said, charisma, which I'll explain shortly. All of us ought to know, should know, dogmatically, without apology, without any shade of confusion, that the Bible teaches that salvation is by grace through faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. If we begin to think that salvation is by works, you will get in the flesh, you will come to a standstill, you're going to get in real serious difficulties. Salvation, you're born again, you're saved, you're forgiven, your life has changed. How? The grace of God comes to your life and you literally reach out by faith and you receive this grace of God. Salvation is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. You didn't earn it. You don't work your way into it. You don't strive for it. You don't intellectually understand it. It's none of those things. It doesn't come gradually. The grace of God comes down on your life, and through one act of faith, you receive this grace, and your life has changed. You go, I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And many years of sin, the burden of sin rolls away immediately. And I am instantly made a member of the body of Christ. My life has changed. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Christ dwells within me. How could I have worked all of this out? How could I have understood it? It happens in one moment, and I spend the rest of my Christian life understanding what happened unto me. It is fundamental. It is basic. It is elementary. It is what you've got to understand at the beginning. I'm saved by grace, not good works, not what I do, not all my efforts, not my intellect, not my understanding. I am saved by the grace of God. All I do is reach out by faith and receive it. But His grace offers it unto me. Saints, we all know this. We ought to know this. We need to be dogmatic on this, or else we're living according to law, in the flesh, and we will not be right with God. But here this morning, I don't want to deal with salvation by faith, but I want to deal with how, after salvation, after you've received grace and salvation, and but through faith, grace has come into your life to change you, I actually want to show you that being a member of the body of Christ comes by the very same way. It is through grace, and it operates, and you operate in the body by faith alone. You're saved by faith. You stand by faith. You walk by faith. But you know what else you do? You operate within the church by faith. Not your knowledge, not your experience, not your maturity, not a thousand things of natural ability. It's by faith that you operate as a member of the body. You may say, oh, but I do this in secular society. This is my natural ability. This is what I'm good at, so I bring it into the church. No, 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 don't do that. Do you know what? It's the grace of God. How do you operate as a member? It's the grace of God. And if you don't need the grace of God to function as a member, you're in the flesh and you're a natural man and there's nothing spiritual about it. What I do in the body of Christ, I need His grace to pray. I need His grace to worship. I need His grace this morning to preach. Saints, when we come to this issue of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, we have a teaching there of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit shining forth in the church. That is Him shining forth, but He needs bodies. He needs person in the church. He gives nine gifts, and it is the Holy Spirit shines through you in those nine gifts. That is one area of gifts. There is a second area of gifts that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. They are the five ministries of Jesus Christ. They are gifts into the body of Christ. They're actual people. They're men that God gives into the body of Christ. The nine gifts are for everybody. The five ministries are very specific. But I don't want to deal with any of those. I'm not going to talk this morning about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The emphasis there is, it's the Holy Spirit shining forth. Neither am I going to speak about the five gifted ministries. That is men with ministry in the church, who function in the church. But here this morning, I actually want to deal with the seven grace gifts of Romans chapter 12. There are seven grace gifts, and I believe these are very neglected and not talked about. The emphasis here isn't the work of the Holy Spirit shining forth. Neither is it gifted ministry, but it is members of the body who through God's grace operate in a certain way. Let's go to Romans 12 here this morning. It says in verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Notice that these two scriptures come before teaching on the seven grace gifts. And it's not restricted to seven gifts in the body. It is not restrictive. This is not a complete list. This gives you an idea how you are to operate in the body of Christ. But notice where he starts, and we separate verse 1 and 2 from verse 3. That is normal in the church. We always do it. I do it. You have done it in the past. But I want to put verse 1 and verse 2 in the context of the entire chapter. Do not separate verse 1 and verse 2 from verse 3, or you're going to miss it. You see, when he talks in verse 1 about begging you to present your body, you Christians in this church, I beg you here this morning, I'm asking you to come before God and to offer up your body to the Lord, to God. I'm asking you that you don't bring sacrifices and offerings and animals, but that you bring your physical, natural body, your eyes, your ears, your arms, your legs. And I'm saying I want you to consecrate it to God. You say, God, you have my body. Now, many Christians do that, but they don't follow on with the following verses. And you're going to see where I'm going here. So it says, offer up your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice on the altar, but your physical body in the church is to be a living sacrifice offered to God. Can I ask you this morning, is your physical body, your eyes, your ears, your movement, your strength, is it dedicated to God in the local body? You can say, God's got my body. Well, it's got to get worked out in the church. I will be able to see if your body is dedicated unto God. He says, this is your reasonable service. If you do this, you haven't done anything special. Man, I'm super spiritual. I have dedicated my body, my eyes, my strength, my abilities, my giftings, and my money. I've dedicated it to God. I'm super spiritual. No, you're not. You've done, this is your reasonable service. Don't you know he forgave you? Don't you know he purchased your body by his own precious blood? You're not your own anymore. If you're saying, God has everything, wow, aren't you great? Aren't you great? Of course he has everything. This is basic, simple Christianity. Don't think someone's super spiritual. They're really dedicated to the Lord. Why are you not? Why are you not? This is elementary. You don't do anything special by saying, I'm going to give you everything. Well, sure, you should have done that the first day. What do you think that this is? Do you think you have a choice whether to hold on to your body and who you are? Well, I'm going to choose to lay down my body as a sacrifice. No, no, no. This is the Christian life. So that's the first thing we see. When we come to deal with these grace gifts, he says we're presenting our body in the church to be a vessel for God. Secondly, in verse 2, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not only a body consecrated, but he also talks here about having your mind renewed or renovated or changed. Don't think like this world. Don't think like this secular church society or contemporary church. Don't be molded into its image. Don't let all the influences around you of family, of internet, of watching things on YouTube, don't let that mold your view and push you into the mold of this world or the contemporary church generation. Do you know what? You're to renew your mind with the Word of God. Do you know what? You need a washing of your mind. Someone once said, you lot are brainwashed, you born again Christians. You're brainwashed. It was Will Green came back and he says, yes, my brain did need washed. It was an absolute stench. It was a mess. Brainwashed, yes, my brain got washed. When someone says that to you, just begin to evangelize. Yes, and your brain's stinking. Your tongue is foul. You blaspheme and curse and your dirty stories. You could do with being brainwashed as well. You need your brain to be washed with the Word of God. Saints, we're coming to these grace gifts. But notice that he says your body's got to be consecrated and your mind, how you think about things, got to be renewed. You see, we come in and we get saved and we go, well, here I am, I'm saved by grace. Our body isn't yielded unto God and our mind hasn't been renewed. You see, you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you. But your mind can be like an old broken down house. And that's why it needs renovated. And that's why it needs renewed. You need to put some curtains on the windows. You need to put some glass back in those window frames. You need to fix the door that's hanging off. You need to put some paint on those walls. This is a Christian life. You come in and now through the Word of God, the teaching of God's Word, your brain is being washed. You're going, I can't think like that anymore. That's not biblical thinking anymore. That's not the right way to make a decision about that. So your mind is actually being renewed, regenerated. What does that lead you into? Knowing the will of God. Show me someone who knows the will of God. They dedicated their body to God and their mind is renewed. Saints, that is the context of coming to the grace gifts. And this is where I want to lead you here this morning. It is a man who has said, my body is consecrated to God and I want my mind to be renewed. How I think about the church, what I do in the church, how I speak in the church, what I decide to do in the church. You need a renewed mind if you're going to operate in grace gifts. Look with me at verse 3. It says, for I say, and this is the Apostle Paul speaking, for I say through the grace given unto me. Paul is saying here, I am an apostle. I'm a preacher. And I'm speaking into you, the church in the city of Rome. And he says, as I speak to you, it is through the grace that is given unto me. Do you know Paul wrote 14 letters in the New Testament? And how did he write that? How did he raise churches up? How did he see people saved? How did he appoint elders in the church? How could he do all this? Was it that he was more spiritual or he had more ability? No. Do you know what? It's by the grace of God. And he says, for I say, don't separate this verse from the two previous ones. For I say, through the grace of God, given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Do you see here, he's just talked about the renewing of your mind, to have your mind renovated. Some of you need to change how you think, or you'll never change how you operate in the church. You are restricted by your mind. I can't do that. That's a lie. You didn't read that in the Bible. That's your old thinking. That's carnal thinking. That's how your flesh tells you, and you're saying, this is what I am. But is it biblical? I want you to renew your mind. How you operate in this church, you need an absolute brain overhaul. You need a new upload into your computer brain. Do you hear me? We need to get the Word of God into your thick skull and into my thick skull. And you need to start saying, I want to renovate my thinking. The first thing Paul does here, he says to every single one of you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to. The word think is used 3 times here as he begins to deal with grace gifts. Don't think highly of yourself. Don't think super of yourself. Do you know what that actually means? You've got a whole wrong perspective of yourself in the church, of your gifting, of your ministry, of your spiritual life, of where you fit in. You're so proud and arrogant. You have exalted yourself and you're looking down from a high place that you should never be in. But look, it says you ought to think soberly. The word there is of necessity. You must think soberly. The word soberly means sane or in a balanced way. It's the opposite of being insane. In other words, when you're proud and you think highly of yourself and you think I'm gifted and I'm able and I am this in the Lord. Do you know what he's saying? You're insane. That's insane thinking. If you're here and you're a proud person, do you know what? You're crazy, you're stupid, you're mad, you're out of your head. If you're here looking down on others, you really do have a mental problem. Not psychological, it is a heart issue. If you think you're more important than others, if you look down on others, if you have a superiority attitude, if you have an attitude of self-importance, I'm better than them, I'm more important than them, I'm more useful in them. Do you know what? You're insane this morning. I've got a place that you ought to go this morning because your mind isn't right. It needs renovated with the Word of God. Because if you knew the Word of God, you would never look down on anybody else in this church. You would never think that you're more perfect. You would never judge them looking down on them. You couldn't if your thinking is right. And you see, the problem is your mind has not been renovated. It's not been changed by the Word of God. And I'm going to help you with that here this morning. Is there a problem with arrogance? Of high self-esteem? No, brother, my problem's a low self-esteem. No, it's not. Most of the time it's not. Oh, I'm worthless. I'm useless. Stop that, okay? There's nothing wrong with low self-esteem. Hard to find a person with low self-esteem. I'm not doing that. I only think of myself. You don't have a problem with low self-esteem. You think too highly of yourself. Well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to be there. I don't need to think of those things. Then you do not have a problem with a low self-esteem. You've got a problem with pride, with arrogance. You're insane. You're crazy. You're off the track. Your mind is not right. Do you know what? Here it says that you need to think soberly. Get that mind under control. Oh, but what about this thought? Take your thoughts captive. Bring them into subjection to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know why? Those thoughts, if you don't take them captive, they'll dominate you and they'll make you act in a certain way. Paul writing here says to think more soberly. And notice in how he is to think more soberly. According as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So you're not to think highly of yourself. You're not to have a proud thinking of yourself and how worthy you are. You're actually to think soberly in a very accurate and biblical way about yourself. What does the Bible say about you? What does the Bible say about what you do in the body of Christ? That is an accurate view of who you are or what you are. It says we're to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's how you're to think about yourself. Don't think about yourself in a proud, arrogant way or superior or separate from the body. You're actually to think according to the measure of faith. God has dealt to you a measure of faith. Not word measure. We get the word meter from it. You know what a meter is? It's about that long. It's a portion. A small measurement. It's not everything. It's a small measurement. And God says here, I give to every member in the body a measurement, a portion of faith. I'm not talking about saving faith. Listen carefully. This is not faith that saves you, that you get born again with. This is faith in the church to be a member of the body of Christ. And you know what the Bible says? That God gives to every member of the church a measure of faith. And it's not all the same. It's not all the same. God has given you individually a portion of faith, and you're to think about yourself according to that faith. Because you know what? The faith that you have allows you to operate in this church. I not only get saved by faith, walk by faith, but I'm a member of the body by faith. How much faith has God given you in this local body? Faith can grow. Faith can enlarge. But God gives every member a portion of faith to do a certain thing. And you can only do it in this church by faith. It's the faith that God gives you allows you to do something. Something in this church. God's given you actual faith as a gift. It's by grace. You don't deserve it. You don't create it. You don't earn it. But God gives you faith in your heart and you go, I see that. I know that. I believe that. I know that God wants me to do this. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and 2, all men do not have faith. That's salvation. All men don't have faith. But in the church, if you're a born again believer, you have faith. Everybody in the church has faith. God has given you a portion of faith. Some of you, it's bigger than others. For some of you, it's for a certain thing. Maybe it's faith to pray. Maybe it's faith to act. Maybe it's faith to consider others. But you have faith in that way. And you know what? God gave you that faith by His grace. You didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. It's got nothing to do with being spiritual. God gives you a measure of faith and you have faith to do a certain thing in the church and you go, this is what I am to do in this body. But look at verse 4. He goes further. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. He's using an example to understand these grace gifts and the faith that has been given to each of you to operate by the grace of God as a member in the church. He said, let's look at the body, the physical body, your physical body. It says, as we have many members in one body. You sitting here, I hope you only have one body. You have a body, each one of you. One body. You don't have two bodies. You don't have half a body, thank God. You have an entire full body. We all look different, but you do have a body. And he goes further here and he says, but many members, one body. It's absolutely one body. But we're all distinct members. I've got an arm and a leg. They're not the same. They don't operate the same. They don't look the same. They don't act the same. They don't have the same function. They don't do the same thing. I've got two eyes and I've got two ears, thank God. My ear does not do what my eye does. My eye doesn't do what my ear does. So he says here, look at your physical body for a moment. I have heard it say that your liver actually functions to do about 500 things. I don't know if that's true or not, but your liver, you can't see it. I've never seen my liver in my entire life. Here I am, I'm 47 years old, and I've never once seen my liver, yet I wouldn't have made it through 1 week without that liver operating. But you know what? The liver is there. It is working, thank God. It's operating within me. So he's using the example of the physical body because he wants you to learn something. He says, one body, but many different members, but they're all in the same body. Just because your eye, you're not outside of the body. Just because you're the ear and you look at the little pinky toe on your left foot and say, ha, thank God I'm not a little pinky toe. Well, you wouldn't go anywhere if it wasn't for me. Cut your little pinky off and let's see you walk down the road this morning. I can assure you, since there's some internal parts of your body you can't survive without. There's some visible parts of the body you could miss or haven't taken off you and you'll manage just fine. It says here, look at the physical body. All members have not the same office. In your physical body, all the different members, they do not have the same function. Do you realize God designed the physical body? Do you know he created the physical body? He carefully planned it and he designed every single portion. They're not meant to be the same. We're not all meant to look the same. Thank God I rejoice at the body of Christ being so different. I thank God I'm not like you. And thank God that you're not like me. I would hate a church filled with Keith Malcolmsons. I would hate it if all the females in this church were duplicates of Candace. And it's not that I don't love Candace. But do you know what? She only has a measure of faith. I only have a measure of faith. And it's this long. That's all the faith I have. I can't do what you all do. I can't do your task in this church. I can't be who you are, but I can be who I am. I've got faith to stand in this pulpit. Candace has faith to go on that and to worship the Lord and to lead us in worship. And you know what? When you find that portion, you go, I can do this. You know why? Grace is there. Grace is there, but not the same office. That word office means deeds or function. It means your works are a way that you operate in this church. It means knowledge put into action. And if you don't put knowledge into action, that knowledge is dead knowledge. Action that comes out of practical knowledge. You know all the Bible's practical?
Yes.
It's practical. It's not intellectual. It's not theological. It's not mental. It's to be lived out. What is the definition of theology? There's a lot of bad definitions. But let me give you one from 500 or 600 years ago by a man called William Ames from Holland. This is what he said. Theology is that teaching that makes you walk with God. I like that. That's practical knowledge. That's theology that's alive. But the church is filled with people. I know that. 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 Yeah.
That's right.
They know all these facts, but then to operate, since that's what a function is, you've received knowledge, you've received faith, grace is on your life, and you operate in a certain way. And you know what? Your mind is being renewed by the Word of God. Your body is offered unto God. There's people who should be sitting in church this morning. They're not, they're sitting at home. They can say, I have dedicated my body to God. He has my body. Really? They say, I'm not going to allow drink to come into this body. I'm not going to join my body to a harlot on the streets. Praise God. But where are you this morning? Where is your physical body this morning? Is it doing the will of God? Then don't tell me you've consecrated your body. Your mind doesn't think biblically. Oh, I'm a biblical Christian. No, you're not. You've got head knowledge, but your mind has not been renovated. Since the physical body has different functions, different actions, they operate. Can you imagine your foot saying, I know the theology of how to be a foot. I've got it all written down, A to Z, on the theology of functioning as a foot. Wonderful. Let's go walk. No, I'm not going to walk. I can't do that. Then your theology is a dead theology. And that foot is a useless foot. He actually says there, we don't have the same office. What do you practice in this church? I know what you believe by what you practice. You see, if you're functioning a certain way, there's faith there. And if grace comes through you, that shows me something. Look at verse 5. So we being many, he now takes the example of the body and he applies it to the church. He's talked about the body, many members, one body. We all have different functions. Now he's going to apply it to the church, and I'm going to apply it to LCC. Verse 5, so we being many, we're many here. We are one body in Christ. You're all different members. You're born again. You're different. You have different functions. But you know what? We're made one in Jesus Christ. Are you in Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? You see, it's our relationship in Christ that make us one body. Now, I've met lots of Christians who said, I'm a member of Christ. But I don't need the church. I do not need to go to the church. Will you find a Christian who is an isolationist, a separatist? They have removed themselves from being in a body. Yes, you could be saved. Though sometimes I'll question it. If you can't make it to church, what would ever make you think you'll make it to heaven? How would you think you're going to die and go straight into the presence of God supernaturally beyond the planets? And you can't walk down the road to church. You go, I'll lie in my bed. If you're like that, you're not functioning as a member of the body. People who are individuals, they say, I'm in Christ. Then you're in a body. Do you hear me? How are you to function as a member in the body of Christ? If you're in Christ, you're in his body. You're a member of the body. You have no right to say, I don't need to be in church. I don't need to be a member of church. I don't need to function in the church. I just worship the Lord. But I don't need to minister to a group of other Christians. I don't need to be a part of a body. I don't need to be responsible to others. I can come and go as I like. I don't need to belong. I can do anything with my body. I can leave my body in bed on a Sunday morning, or I can sit it on the back pew of a church. It's my choice. Then there's something terribly wrong with you. There really is. Do you know what it says here? One body in Christ, and every one members of another. Are you in Christ? Then you're members one of another. If you say, I am in Christ, I've been birthed into Christ, you're a member of me. You belong to me. I belong to you. We're joined. If you so say, no, I'm an individual here. You don't understand the body of Christ. You may understand being born again. You may understand being saved by grace through faith. That's wonderful. But you don't understand what it means that the grace of God has come on you to make you a member of the body, to function by faith to other members of the body. He says, every one members one of another. If you're in Christ and in the body, you're joined to other members. You may not like them. They may rub you up and down the wrong way at time. We're not in an organization. We're in Christ. Joining an organization does not create a body. Voting does not create a body. You deciding to be a member or to say, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be an evangelist. I'm going to be a deacon. That doesn't affect anything. You can't make yourself a member. Do you know what you have to do? You have to be in Christ, and he makes you a specific member. Verse 6, having then gifts differing. How do these gifts get given to different people? It says in verse 6, having then gifts differing. Do you realize in this church, you may sit here and say, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Do you hear me? I'm telling you what the Bible says. You go, oh, but I'm not operating then. Then you better. You better. Do you know what you need? You need a stir of faith and allow the grace of God to come, because he's given everyone faith. He's given everybody a gift, and you need to know where you fit into the body of Christ. There is faith. There is grace. You're a member of the body. If you're born again, you have a function or something to do in the body. It may be small or it may be big. It may be invisible or it may be visible. But what is your task in the body of Christ? Verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to grace that is given unto us. Do you realize you've got a gift in your life that has come to you by the grace of God? What is grace? It is the influence of God. Notice in this verse you have the word gifts, then the word grace. The word gifts is the word charisma. The word grace is the word charos. Charos, charisma. Do you know what it means? These words, gifts and grace, are connected together. What is grace? It is the ability of God, the divine enabling of God. It is God reaching out to give you something you don't deserve, you haven't earned, and you couldn't create yourself. That is grace, God reaching out to you. What is charisma? Charisma is the gift he gives specifically to you as a member of the body of Christ. It's very specific. And that means that the gifts are a thing of grace. Never separate grace from a gift. If you find someone who says, look at my preaching. Look at how much I do. Look what I do in this church. Nobody else does as much as me in that area in this church. Do you know what that shows me? You don't understand grace. If you understood grace, you go, I could not stand literally in this pulpit if it wasn't for the grace of God. I want to tell you, Margaret would not clean this place, unlock the door, do things in this building if it wasn't for the grace of God. And when you begin to resent what you do, or to think, why aren't others doing what I'm doing? Do you know what starts to happen? It shows you've just cut off the grace of God to what you're doing. You see, a gift in your life, you recognize it by it's the grace of God, the influence of God. God has given you something. And in fact, you're able to do it. I don't know how I preach from week to week. I don't understand it. And you know what? I don't even think about it because I'd get worried. It's like riding a bicycle or flying in an airplane. I'm in a plane, go, how do they keep this thing up? I don't understand. Candace, will you please tell me? How does it stay? Don't think about it. Just enjoy the ride. Take a picture of the clouds outside. Just sit there and talk together or go for a sleep. Don't think too deeply. That's what I'm like as a preacher. I'm telling you, 6 years preaching week in, week out. Don't think, Malcolmson. Don't think about it. Just walk in the grace of God. If God has called me here, he can do it. He's given me faith to do it. Just don't think too deeply. What am I going to preach for the next year? I don't know. Well, go and look at, buy a book on how to do this. I don't know any book that can tell me. Do you know how you do it? Grace comes into my life. Grace comes into my life. And when the grace of God comes into my life, I can do this, saints. And it's the same in your life. When the grace of God comes down upon you, you go, I can do that. I know how to do that. I'm telling you how to get out of works in the flesh. I don't know what my purpose is here. I don't fit in. I don't feel a part. Then get on your knees. Get back to faith. It's not by works. It's not by having someone to tell you something. You know what? Put faith in God, saying, God, I am a member of the body of Christ. You put me here in this church. I know that I'm born again of God's grace. I know that I'm meant to be in this church. Lord, will you use me as a member? I may not know at this point if I'm an eye or an ear, but you know what? Will you just use me? Some people kill themselves and trying to find out, am I an ear or an eye or a small toe? And they spend years trying to work it out. They fill in forms, find your gift, Fill in these 100 questions and you'll find the gift of God for your life. Don't do that, saints. Don't do that. You know what? In the church, I've never tried to be anything. I've never tried to do anything. I go, I've got faith to do this. Let's do it. I'm going to evangelize. I'm going to preach. I'm going to speak to someone. Going to pray for someone. Going to lay hands on them for healing. I just do what I know to do. I know others may do it differently. But this is the function of God in my life. And you know what? I want to stay under the grace of God. If He gives me grace, I can do this. As soon as I find I don't have faith to do this anymore. Do you know what's going to happen? The grace won't be there, the ability. I'm going to stand up some Sunday and you'll say, what happened to Malcolmson? What happened to Malcolmson? I've known very spiritual people who prayed. They'll pray through the night. They'll pray early. They'll read the Bible all day long, but they can't preach. They can't preach. They can't. The gift of God is not there. If they got into a pulpit and begin to try and preach, you'd cringe. You'll go, they're the most spiritual brother I know. They're absolutely hungry for God. They're on fire for God. But oh God, they're not called to preach. You'll cringe. You'll bear with it. Say, God bless. Thank you, brother, for preaching. And you may never hear him preaching this church ever again. There may be someone who says, I am gifted in music. I'm a worship leader. This is what the call of God is in me. As soon as you hear them play the piano for the first time or sing, they may say, this is our worship leader. And as they stand to sing, you say, God help you, you need a new worship leader. Or you need some help there. There's some people I've heard sing solos in church. They should never sing unaccompanied. They ought to have a good crowd around. And there's no problem with that. That's fine. All of us aren't nightingales. But I can shout for the Lord. God accepts it as spiritual. Saints, I'm saying operate in the grace of God. God's grace is upon you. He's made you a member of the body of Christ. And you know what? When that grace comes, I go, I can do this. I don't know how I do it, but I believe God, and if He tells me to do it, as a young boy, as a child, lying in my bed at night, I'm dyslexic, I'm quiet, I'm shy. I'm sure some people said, man, I wish you'd recapture some of that again in these days. But as a child, I was lying in my bed at night, and it didn't happen once or twice, it happened several times, and I'd have a dream. And in that dream, I would see myself standing, preaching, teaching. And in front of me was thick, gross darkness. And I knew it was people. And I would look at myself. I mean, I'm 10 years old. And I'd look at myself in this dream. And out of my mouth is coming things I've never heard. I grew up in church. I was around good churches. Preachers all my day were around me, in my home, all through my youth. And yet in this dream, I would listen to myself and words were coming out of my mouth that I'd never heard. Teachings I'd never sat under. Things being opened up. I'd never heard my dad preach. And you know what? As a child, as I am looking at this in a dream, I go, I do believe. I went, Lord, how you could ever get me to put a sentence together? I don't know. But you know what I do know? If this is you, Lord, I believe. I believe if this is you showing me what I'm going to do in the future, then I believe it. It's not my job to make it happen. I'm not going to start a course on how to learn to preach or put all my efforts into it or praying into it. Lord, make me a preacher. I never prayed that. I was too busy running from it and trying. Lord, are you sure? Yes. Yes, go preach. I was trying to get out of this. I was telling myself why I shouldn't be a preacher. But you know what? God had a function for this man. And what I simply done was believe. It's not my job to do it, or to create it, or to make myself, or to push myself into the worship team. Don't do that. Or push myself into evangelism, or into preach. Don't do that. You know what? I just go, the grace of God is there. I see a need. Why is it you see a need that five other people in this church don't see? Why is that? Why is it you can see something that they feel nothing about? Do you know what that is, Grace? That doesn't mean you criticize them. Why don't they see it? I was in a church, and let me finish with this here this morning. I was in a church many years ago, and there was a man called Donald McDougall in that church. And he was a much older man than me, 50 years my senior. And he'd come to me and he'd say, Keith, Do you know I'm there and visitors come in the door? We're a church of 150. He'd be the first one to meet them. He'd stick his hand out. He'd get to know them. They put him in the Christian bookshop in that church. He was the best person to sell books. You couldn't go in there and just browse alone. Here comes Donald and he's going to talk to you and know everything that you've had for breakfast. Well, he said to me one day, he says, Keith, I get so angry. I get frustrated. What's wrong with the other 149 people in this church? Can't they see the visitor? Why don't they welcome him? I says, Donald, that's something that God has given you. And it doesn't relieve others from doing that or being. But you have a very unique way of communicating and a real love for people and a real desire. Why do you get frustrated? Rather than judging others, you ought to be saying, thank God for the grace of God in me. It's made me into something. And you know what? There won't be 100 Donald McDougals in that church. You'd go crazy if you had 100 Donald McDougals. But thank God for the other vessels and the quiet ones who are more timid. Well, if you had 100 McDougals, you'd be saying, oh God, send us 1,000 quiet Christians to balance this boat up. But since what I'm saying is the grace of God comes, and it's as you simply believe God and say, Lord, if you say, even if you tell me that I'm going to operate in a way that I feels too much for me and is beyond me and it's too heavy a burden, I do believe you because I believe this is my function, a unique function, or maybe a bit similar to some others, but I've got a function in the body of Christ. I want to do my part, not waste my time trying to be like someone else and miss out doing mine. Let the grace of God come down on us as a church. I'm going to continue with this next week. But we need to see it's by grace. You're not only saved by grace. You not only stand by grace. But you operate as a member of the body by grace. Please stand with me. Yeah.